Hi, welcome to today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman, and the Seahawks come off of one of their biggest wins of the year. They beat the Minnesota Vikings on Monday Night Football by a score of 21-7 and put themselves in the driver's seat for the wild card spot in the playoffs. It was a fantastic win through and through, and before we get into breaking down what happened in the game, we'll do a quick intro. I am Grant Goldberg. I co-host this Locked On Seahawks podcast and do social media and graphic design work for SB Nation's Lakers site. And Spike is a writer with The Stranger. And I think it's safe to say we can both be in agreement that this was by far one of the Seahawks' best games. The defense probably had their best showing of the year against this Vikings team. And it was a really great opportunity for the Seahawks to kind of establish themselves as this this dangerous team heading into this into the postseason this year, because all it takes is a few more wins and they lock in a playoff spot. Spike, you know, this Seahawks team looks like it can make some noise against the right teams in the playoffs.
Yeah, this defensive performance changes everything for me, and we'll get into it in more depth as we get deeper into the episode. But for me, this was a shockingly good defensive performance. Adam Thielen didn't even get a target for like the first 40 minutes of the game. Shaq Griffin and Trey Flowers, you know, eventually the Vikings got theirs a little bit in the passing game, but those two dudes played out of their minds.
Yeah.
Flowers had a pass breakup, 8 tackles. His tackling was incredible all day. Griffin, total bounce back game in coverage after a couple not terrible games but rocky games against middling opponents. He drew a really tough assignment tonight and looked out of his mind again. Bobby Wagner comes through. Look, leverage is a complicated idea.
What even is leverage?
So I looked at the rule, and the first half of the rule is like, oh, it's to get additional height. And I was like, oh, he didn't do that. It was clean. And then the other half of the rule was putting your hands on your teammates to get through a gap. And I was like, oh, he kind of did do that. Whatever. It was dope. And it like wasn't egregious. Whatever. Everybody,
the Cheat Hawks are back.
Yeah, we're back, baby. I love that play. But more than that, I love his stops on fourth down. Like, that really, for me, was, again, just Bobby Wagner hitting hard all game. Frank Clark, real bounce-back performance.
Oh,
we
yeah.
talked about absolutely needing that this week. Just unreal. Whipped their O-line all day. I mean, it was a really stellar performance. Michael Kendricks came back, looked pretty solid, didn't really miss a beat. McDougald had a good game. Tedrick just wasn't visible a lot, which for a safety is fine. Yep. You know, that's the best we can hope for. I don't know, man.
Well, I think we should stay on the defense, though, since we're already talking about them.
Oh, yeah.
This defensive line, you know, granted it's against a team like the Vikings who's just torn apart when it comes to injuries on the offensive line. This was the exact game that they needed to put together to really show they can hang in this league. You know, there's been a couple of performances this year from this defensive line that says, you know, this is a complete non-factor in the game, and this was exactly the opposite. You mentioned it, Frank Clark. To me, besides Bobby Wagner, who always pops on film, just watching it on live TV had, I think, you know, one of his best games of the season, if not the best. He was great when it came to tackling at the line of scrimmage. He was in on a few plays that were, you know, quarterback hits, hitting Dalvin Cook in the backfield, Latavius Murray in the backfield, and Jacob Martin had a few good rushes. Shamar Stephen, Jaron Reed both had stellar games. This defensive line dominated up front. And as good as they were up front, the secondary was, you said it, absolutely lights out. Trey Flowers, even on that 48-yard Stephon Diggs catch, he had really, really good coverage.
Really great position.
That's just a great play by Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
But Trey Flowers, we're almost running out of superlatives with this guy. You know, especially, I think we can stop saying for a fifth round conversion pick.
No,
well,
we do kind of still need to say that. I mean, if you look at QB rating to that side of the field, it's still a little high. But we can keep saying it. He's awesome, though.
He's awesome.
Awesome. Yeah. For a fifth-round conversion.
Well, he has...
He's awesome for a fifth-round conversion. He's rock solid for a CB2.
Exactly. Yes. I think... Now, the word I was going to use when I said without the preemptive conversion pick saying, I was going to say, you know, he is, like, a legit, like, he's a good player. Now, I'm not going to go as far as say great, fantastic shutdown, but then we can add the whole, since he's a conversion pick, but he's been great for what he's been asked to do. And I think that, you know, without him, this defense, I mean, I'm not talking about tonight, but this defense, you know, is a lot weaker. We talked about how they looked bad in the past. Without Trey Flowers, you're in a super tough spot. And I think, you know, this was a big game for his confidence, for Shaquille Griffin's confidence. I think that drive where he had like two consecutive pass breakups or was in on two consecutive pass breakups just dominated that matchup with Adam Thielen tonight. It was just a fantastic game from this defense as a whole.
Yeah, no, I thought it was really great. Barkus Mingo, we haven't said his name. He made some stops. But again, I think the obvious standouts are Clark and Wagner and that secondary. I mean, again, to hold that Vikings team to 0 points for the first 58 minutes of that game is really exceptional. It's just really exceptional. And I mean, that it's not a top five offense or anything, but it's a really good offense. Cousins has been really accurate all year. Diggs and Thielen have been dominant, arguably the best wide receiver duo in the league. Dalvin Cook has been solid. Their offensive line, obviously not good, but, you know, with the Seahawks D-line, which is not super deep, you didn't know. And the other side of it, and a ton of credit, even though the Seahawks team only had three first-half points, long drives.
Yeah.
Just long, long drives. And I maybe we should take a quick break and come back and talk about the offense, because in some ways there's more to talk about there, because it was a more up-and-down performance. But I thought... Yeah, I thought the offense did a great job of setting up the defense to be well-rested late so they could make those huge stops.
Definitely. All right, so stay tuned for more Locked On Seahawks on the Locked On Podcast Network. And we are back with the next part of today's show of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are still with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman. And I guess we can start with the team's rushing performance. You know, we talked about their long drives, their up and down performance, but you know, their running game was as steady as it's been all year. 42 attempts for 214 yards. Absolutely just bludgeoned the Minnesota Vikings to death. And I don't know what to say, man. I'm gonna say it. Body blows, but you know, we look at, you know, 5.5 yards per carry for Rashad Penny, who I thought looked good tonight. Chris Carson obviously looked good.
Russell Carson Wilson looked amazing.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we haven't talked about Carson enough recently. He's been in and out of the lineup a little bit with injuries, whatever. Like, dude looked amazing. His ability to drag defenders after contact, it's awesome. He's not quite that Marshawn Lynch miracle bouncing. It's more of an understandable running style, but it is just every play gets a couple extra yards after contact, and it's really fun. It's really he's just so good right now. I didn't think that running into the teeth of that Minnesota defense was going to yield as much as it did, and it did from the drop. They were getting 4 or 5 yard gains. And yeah, we fell behind the sticks early. And yeah, we got knocked out of field goal range. And there was some weirdness in the first half. But those were good drives. Brian Schottenheimer did an excellent job of using Chris Carson, Rashad Penny, and Mike Davis, honestly, using their legs. I thought it was the first half was the most complete half of football Seattle played all year, despite only getting 3 points. Again, you got a sack to knock you out of field goal range, and then you have an insane interception play after some weird clock management. Those aren't the play-to-play effectiveness. I'm talking about on the field play-to-play effectiveness. That was the best most complete half on both sides of the ball Seahawks played all season to this point. And yeah, it ended 3-0. So it's super weird. Yeah. Super weird. Go back to your litany.
Well, no, I was going to say the process doesn't always yield results, but yeah, I think, you know, you got a result in, you know, just keeping the ball away from the Vikings in the first half.
Yeah.
And yeah, they were inches away from a touchdown in that half with David Moore's catch.
Yeah, David Moore was the only sort of dark spot on that Seahawks offense. No catches on 5 targets, including a nasty drop, and then obviously failing to drag his feet. Meanwhile, Lockett, you know, his classic 5 receptions on 6 targets, didn't get in the end zone this week, but hey, you know, what are you going to do?
I mean, George Fant, third leading receiver on the Seahawks. It finally happened. George Fant got a target. He caught the ball. It wasn't a touchdown, but it was a 9-yard gain. So in our hearts, it was a George Fant score. But I think, you know, this is a good chance to talk about Russell Wilson because...
Wait, okay, great. Yes, we'll come back to who I want to talk about a little later. Let's talk Russ.
All right, well, when we got on this call before we started talking, you know, I said this team played well despite Russ not being very good. But, I mean, obviously, I think watching the game, it doesn't look as bad as the stat line. You have that nasty interception.
Really bad stat line.
Yeah, that really nasty interception, I think, you know, watching the play, and you chalked it down to, you know, bad clock management, and I think, you know, maybe in that situation, Russ probably should just take the sack. But it looked in that moment like one of the worst plays I've seen Russell Wilson make. Just in the sheer, you know, what the hellness that came out of the play. But, you know, he was just steady for the Seahawks tonight. Like always, you know, when you needed him, he came through. And it kind of reminded me of the first couple of years of his career when he wasn't really hitting in the passing game. He would start to use his legs a little bit more to kind of, you know, churn out tough yards for the Seahawks, keep the ball moving, keep the ball in Seattle's hands. And I think that's what we saw tonight. He had 61 rushing yards. He had that big 40-yard gain, which was absolutely insane. It was like watching a toddler run away when you're asking them what's in their hands, and he's just running up the sideline, and he obviously just slides down like he does when the safety approaches him. But, you know, I think that, you know, he did what he needed to do to get a win against a team like the Vikings in a game like this.
Yeah, and how much better does the stat line look if instead of 10 for 20, he's 13 for 21? You add on those Tyler Lockett pass interference yards, you add on that David Moore touchdown, you add on that other David Moore drop, and he's 13 for 21 for a 140, a touchdown. You know what I mean? Like, it just feels different. Obviously, that one play is insane, but he has to throw the ball there. If he gets tackled, the clock runs out. You know, there's no real cost to that interception compared to getting sacked. Obviously, don't put yourself in the position to be sacked. And beyond that, if you're starting a drive with 6 minutes left, maybe don't run out of clock on the 1 yard line. But, you know, that happened, and then he had to throw the ball away. And that play by Kendricks is insane. Like, it's an insanely instinctive play by our Kendricks to break where he did at that moment to make that interception. It's, you know, it's credit where credit is due.
Yeah, the question of does he stay on his feet, I think it's a lot tougher to stay on your feet in that moment. If he does, that's probably 6, but it's an insane play in the first place.
Yeah, and it's really tough because, like, he's falling to the ground to make that catch. I don't think he gets his hands on it. I don't think there's a way for him to shoestring that and keep running if there were Eric Kendricks would be playing tight end or wide receiver. You know what I mean?
If, like, there were, he'd be Bobby Wagner.
It's a weird ball. Yeah. I mean, honestly, Bobby Wagner's only had the one pick six ever, and that one hit him right in the hand. So, you know.
You know. But you know, I think, you know, on the subject of Russell Wilson, I will say this, that if the Seahawks are going to be insistent on being as run-heavy as they are and not being as efficient in that game, they're kind of forcing Russell Wilson to be efficient, you know, no matter what. They're going to give him, like, these limited amount of passing attempts, and so he has no choice but to be efficient, or we're going to see these kind of funky and ugly stat lines. You know, if, you know,
well,
like you said, if he
I
has
just
these...
Speak
oh,
to
go
the,
ahead.
I just want to speak to the elephant in the room, which is Doug Baldwin was a game time scratch. Like, our receiving core is shallow. Like, we know that. So, and if David Moore has an off game, and we've seen him have great games and we've seen him have bad games, if David Moore has a bad game and Doug Baldwin's not on the field, Russell Wilson's in trouble, man. Yeah. Like those are two of his three best options. And if neither of them shows up, like, he's like, there's only, can't catch the balls himself, you know?
Yeah.
So I just need to, it's not an excuse, but like, it's also the game plan. You know what I mean? Like, Baldwin wasn't on the injury list from the beginning of the week. The game plan for this game involved Doug Baldwin, and then it didn't, and that's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, we saw a screen pass to Jerron Brown tonight, and that's definitely a play that doesn't go to Jerron Brown on any other week where Doug Baldwin's healthy. But yeah, I still think, though, you know, we saw last week too, you know, he only had so many passing attempts. Granted, he didn't need to against the San Francisco 49ers. Who knows if it's going to be the same next week? But I do think that they kind of, you know, put him into that, you know, and this is from a narrative perspective, because obviously, you know, we know Russell Wilson's a great quarterback, and we've kind of caped for him in this MVP discussion, at least to put him in the discussion, not for him to win it. But if he's going to have these games where he only has so many passing attempts and he has injured receivers and defensive pass interference calls and drops, then he's going to, you know, have these ugly 10 for 20 stat lines.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, again, like, his QBR is higher than his passer rating. And I think that speaks to, neither of them's good, obviously. It was not a good game for Russell Wilson. But the fact that his QBR is higher than his passer rating, I think speaks to how that hideous stat line really is hiding a much more middling stat line that is the true performance Russell Wilson made.
Yeah, and let's face it, he could have been Kirk Cousins who threw the ball 33 times and lost. So
yeah.
The Seahawks.
Yeah, I mean, and Kirk Cousins got a lot of those yards late. Yeah. Oh my God. Like, he got like what, 75 of those yards in the last
couple of drives. Yeah,
we only sacked Cousins twice. It felt like we sacked him like 30 times. Yeah, exactly. Cousins' QBR was 26.7, his passer rating was 89. Wilson's QBR was 47.5 and his passer rating was 37.9. Oof. I think this is one of those cases where QBR speaks more to the performance of the respective players. I don't always agree with it. Sometimes it overvalues context and overvalues running. I think in this case it is accurate and it reflects why the scoreline is what it was.
Yeah, and no, I'm just happy that, you know, the offense obviously did enough. They found a game plan. They found what worked. And they beat the Vikings to death with it, to a tune of 42 rushes for 214 yards, I'll repeat. So I think, you know, that's a great place to stop. We'll come back with some special teams talk and our final game ball segment for today's show. So stay tuned for more Locked On Seahawks on the Locked On Podcast Network. And we are back with the final portion of today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are finishing this thing out with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman. And, you know, what's there to talk about on special teams besides Michael Dixon? Another great game. He had one bad punt. Like, go ahead. Bobby Wagner. I feel like we kind of had that discussion in the first place, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right.
I mean,
You're right. I was saying, for the first time all year, I might have a special teams player of the week that's not Michael Dixon.
No, and I think that's warranted. I think that's warranted to give, you know, Bobby Wagner the nod. I think he deserves it in defense and special teams, but I think, you know, when you put into context, even if he used his teammates to kind of gain what they call, air quotes, leverage, then I don't know. Leverage doesn't exist in my mind right now as a Seahawks fan. Leverage doesn't exist. It's a construct. Bobby Wagner didn't need it to make that play, but if he did use it, so what? He's incredible. It's an incredible athletic play no matter what. We've seen him do it before. I'm glad that he did it again, and I hope that he continues to do it.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, but Michael Dixon did have another good night. He had one bad punt when he was punting from the Seahawks end zone. Landed at midfield, took a bad bounce. But you know, aside from that, another great punting night, another step in the right direction for a Pro Bowl bid, for an All-Pro bid. So keep voting for Michael Dixon for the Pro Bowl, and hopefully everybody takes notice of it, and whoever gets to vote on the All-Pro team puts him on the All-Pro team.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, well, I think that can usher us into the game ball segment, and I want to know who your offensive game ball is, Spike.
Yeah, this is the guy, Jordan Simmons.
Ooh.
Two 200-yard rushing performances for the Seahawks. DJ Fluker was somehow not missed. I wouldn't say totally not missed, just because Jermaine Ifedi had a bad game and Fluker's clearly been helping him out this year. And some of the Ifedi poorness can be chalked up to the absence of Fluker. But, wow, Simmons, you just didn't hear his name called. No penalties, constantly road grading. Really good pass protection. Like, wow, just another incredible performance from a guy who I had not heard of 6-7 weeks ago. So for me, Jordan Simmons gets my offensive game ball.
Well, if only someone had predicted him receiving a game ball last week for his stellar play against the Minnesota Vikings. I the name is escaping me. I wish I had known. No, I think he's a co-host of a daily Seattle Seahawks podcast. Rhymes with Schmant Schmoldberg. I think that he predicted Jordan Simmons to get a game ball this week. But he was stellar. I'm not going to go ahead and repeat everything you said because that'd be redundant, but he was really, really good tonight. My offensive game ball goes to Chris Carson because he was steady. He ran through people. He allowed the Seahawks to play the way they wanted to against this Vikings team. Without him, the complexity of this offense is a lot different. And so for his presence on the team alone gets a game ball. But his performance tonight was another great game, and I think he's closing in on his first 1,000-yard season. He's at 704 this year with a few games left. I think
704, does that include the 90 or does it not include the 90? I think it does not include the 90. Am I crazy?
I'm under the assumption that it does include the 90.
Okay, yeah, I think you're right.
But no, he's...
What, has he played every game?
No.
He has. What game did he miss? He's been taken out of games part of the way through, but he's actually suited up every game, I think.
Well, he's... No,
I'm wrong. I'm wrong. Yeah. He missed the game. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
Sorry,
guys. It's not often that Spike is wrong, but when he is, I relish in it. I'm kidding. But, yeah, he's absolutely great. I'm super happy that the Seahawks have him, and he only cost a 7th-round draft pick. So, here's to Chris Carson.
Yeah, indeed. Defensive side of the ball, I'm going to go with I'll take Frank Clark. He'd been bad, and then he was good, and so that's good.
Yeah. I mean, you can't put it much simpler than that. And I'll take the cornerback pairing of Shaquille Griffin and Trey Flowers, because they looked stellar tonight. And we talked a little bit about how Adam Thielen didn't really get his until like 40 minutes into the game. He still finished with 70 receiving yards. Granted, a lot of it came really late in the game. But Shaquille Griffin, Trey Flowers did an amazing job really stifling this Vikings receiving duo. We talked about how if the Vikings were going to have success, it was with those two guys against our cornerbacks. And the Seahawks won. They got the upper hand in that battle. Without them, the game looks completely different.
Yeah. Yeah, it sure does. Credit to the whole defense, but
yeah, wow. Seven QB hits. That was a really good night for the Seahawks.
Yeah, and just a lot of pressures. There were just a lot of plays where Cousins wasn't comfortable, had to roll out, lost half the field. And then our secondary was able to make adjustments and really control things. So
Justin
really
Coleman, too. Justin Coleman had a touchdown. We went the whole show without mentioning it. That was the nail in the coffin in the Seahawks versus Vikings game. It's always fun when Justin Coleman scores a touchdown. My favorite one is when he jumped in the Salvation Army pot in Dallas. But, I can't believe that we didn't mention that.
Yeah,
just kind of the bow on a great Seattle Seahawks defensive performance is that defensive touchdowns, scoop and score. So shouts out to Justin Coleman, who gets a game ball too, for being a pretty good cornerback tonight as well. So the cornerback trio of Griffin, Flowers, and Coleman.
Yep. Yeah. Really good. Really good.
All right. So I think that is it.
Wait. Do we want to talk Shaq Griffin?
Okay. So Shaquem Griffin, the shirt giveaway is over. Mark Oman of Bellingham, Washington, loyal listener of the show, leaves reviews, always interacts with us on Twitter. Definitely a deserving winner. So thank you guys for participating in it. Thank you, Mark. Your shirt is on the way. So be sure to look out for that. And hopefully we can do something like this in the future, because it's a lot of fun to be able to be in a position to give you guys something like that, because you guys deserve it for being such loyal listeners, great fans, and I'm running out of things to say, so thank you guys for participating.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to have a FanDuel thing up later this week. We will announce it on one of our preview episodes.
We are not going to have a FanDuel thing. We're going to have a DraftKings.
Oh, God. Wait, are they owned by the same company now?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, boy, that's really bad sponsorship work on my part. Oh, boy.
It's all right.
Leave it in. Oh,
we're going to leave it in. We're going
to... Whatever. The Seahawks, we haven't even said... The Seahawks are 99.6% to make the playoffs.
Ooh, buddy.
What is happening? All right, let's go. I got to do the homework.
All right. So, for the Locked on Seahawks podcast, I'm Grant Goldberg signing off.
And I'm Spike Freeman, also signing off.